Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast with a hidden surprise at the end of the show.
The secret, our patrons all know, but you don't because you don't subscribe. You could stop the podcast and you go to patreon.com/thecrunch and you could subscribe to the podcast, and then you can go into the Patreon Discord and say, hey, what's the surprise? And all of them will tell you.
My name is Ethan. This is my lovable sidekick, Patrick.
How dare you, first of all. Speaking of lovable sidekicks, I want to talk about my little brother whose room I am in and who is cooler than me.
You've met Nick. Yes.
Nick Nevy, who's amazing. He is a UF student, a graduate student, and his two of his roommates are on the basketball team. They are the national champions. Yeah, for the Florida Gators.
Mm. Is he roommates with the guy that's 7'9"?
I have no idea. I know for sure one of his roommates is on the team, but he's the manager. But he's the manager that got to play. Did you hear that story?
You told that story on this very podcast.
Oh, wow. On this very podcast. Well, it was that kid and then another kid. And so anyway, my little brother, Nick, he called me and I didn't pick up. But my dad told me what he was going to call me to tell me. He was sitting and studying and his buddy comes downstairs. His basketball buddy comes downstairs and is like, hey, we're going to go to a party. Want to come? And Nick's like, nah. And he's like, come on.
Oh, Nick.
And so Nick goes to the party.
Oh.
And it's the whole team.
Everybody's there.
Is at this party. So he's hanging out with the Florida Gators basketball team.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we're going to go to a club. And this club is like, oh, you guys are the national champions. You guys coming through the back door.
Dude,
and everybody else has to go around the front. And Nick, because he's a massive fella.
Yeah, he's just a big guy. He gets ushered in with the team. Kemba Walker and Jimmer Fredette and all those guys going through there. I love those guys.
Sure, man. If you say so. But he gets to sneak in through the door. My dad was like, that is the most Nick Nevy story I've ever heard. Getting into a place where you're not supposed to be.
The kid's got charm coming out of his earballs and his eye holes.
It's true.
He is a charming, like when he drove me to the airport that one time when I came down for your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we got there, and he was of age, mind you, at this time. By the time we got to the airport, I was like, I might leave my whole life behind to hang out with this guy.
Forever.
I looked at him, I said, what if we just kept driving forever? And he was like,
Disney World is right over there.
It's like,
right,
I gotta get back. I got work tomorrow. Like, I can't abscond with my brother's best man. I have a girlfriend. I was like, all right, if you say so.
Did he at the time? I don't remember if he did.
I don't remember either. We had a great time. We had a great chat. A wonderful young boy. I'm not surprised that he's doing the great things that he's doing.
Oh, man. He's doing such good things.
You know what I am surprised by?
You're surprised by... What are you surprised by?
Well, the number of questions we got this week, but were you going to say something
really
else? Yeah.
I was surprised by Truth 3 by Patrick Madrid.
I don't know what that...
You don't know
you're
those
referencing
books.
Something. I'm way
surprised
out of
by
the
truth.
Loop. I'm way out of
this
loop.
Is,
on
this, this is this is deep cut '90s Catholic answers.
Yes,
they came out with these books called Surprise by Truth, and all of them are like 10 page. It's a series of like 10 page conversion stories, and they collect them all in a collection. And so there's like four or five Surprise by Truth books. You'll find them. You will find one in your local youth room.
That's just the type of reference our young digital audience is just hungry for on this.
If you've ever spent, this might be a niche thing. If you've ever spent time at a bookshelf at a Catholic church,
it's just
you will have seen a Surprise by Truth book.
Yeah,
they're usually underneath a bunch of Rediscover Catholicisms by Matthew Kelly.
I'm kind of like a virtuous thief when I go to church bookshelves. I'm like, what? What is a book here that no one else in their right mind would read? And can it have a better home for a while?
Correct.
Because it's all, when I die, it's all going back to the church. So in a way, it's just like a big, like kind of when I got baptized, it's like a permanent library card for any Catholic church's disused and disheveled bookshelf, you know?
Like this
You got Alistair MacIntyre on the shelf? Nobody's reading that. I'll take that and I'll give it a good home.
Nobody's reading On Prayer by Hans Urs von Balthasar.
I've rehoused the history of the Western liturgy. You know, nobody's reading that, right?
They sure aren't. I tell you what, they sure aren't. All right, let's get into some questions.
I'm ready, baby.
Did you give me access?
I did. I clicked approve.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
We're a professional podcast now. We have our show planned out on a Notion board. Mm. We're also releasing a course, how to plan your show using a Notion board. It's going to be $350. anyway,
are you in?
Yeah, but it's loading. So,
oh, dude,
that
we got to get you. Dude. I'm going to do a $350 course on how to get you better internet, and better it's called. We got to hack you into the AT&T mainframe.
Okay. Here we go. All right.
Ready?
This is a business ethics question from Ben. What are the moral implications of signing a poorly written contract? Backstory. I'm an engineer. I work for a defense contractor with the Department of Defense. Recently, my company asked its employees to sign a non-compete to prevent us from talking about sensitive company secrets and then using them to bid against them on a contract. Fair enough. I'd happily sign that. But the problem is the contract is overly broad and basically prevents former employees from working anywhere for 2 years for any customer of the government, which includes the federal government. The contract is likely unenforceable, but here's my conundrum. If I sign it knowing full well that I would break it to get a job if I'm ever laid off, is that wrong? Does the legal status of being unenforceable affect the morality of breaking the Eighth Commandment by lying about my intentions? P.S. If any listeners like this question, send them the classic episode Pat and Law from June 2020, where the boys run out of topics and decide to discuss the intricacies of patent law for fun. And if someone didn't like it, they should submit their own question.
Wow.
Did we do that? That's
really summer, funny. The summer of 2020. We had talked about COVID. We talked about the George Floyd protests ad nauseum. So and we were like,
us
what if we got into patent law?
2020? Us in the summer of 2020, there's nothing to talk about. Let's talk about stuff.
Instead of buying stocks and like getting into, you know, online coaching, we were just doing nothing on our podcast for months at a time.
There's nothing of interest to talk about right now.
We don't have anything going on.
What vaccine mandates? There's nothing going on.
This is the greatest. We could be buying houses at 2% interest, but instead let's do this.
Let's talk about
patent law.
Stupid,
stupid, stupid,
stupid, stupid, stupid. Instead I was talking. Anyway, June of 2020. Holy cow. Ethan, what do you think about this?
I think contracts are a Protestant plot to try and get good Catholics, to try and put good Catholics down. They didn't have contracts in this country until the Irish and the German immigrants started coming over and they said, "Hey, why don't you sign this?" And they it made it so that they couldn't have meat. They had to only eat grains and root vegetables. And that's why suffered for so long in this country is because of contracts.
Tubers.
Yeah. So I think you have a duty to sign it and break it as quickly as you can. to honor your ancestors.
Yeah, I do think that's like a it's unenforceable.
I mean, here's what I think. The contract is overly broad and basically prevents. Here's the thing. You get a lawyer, right? Contracts. This is one thing you learn about being in business. Patrick knows this probably better than I do, but contracts are not real most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, man. I think there is kind of a letter of the law, spirit of the law thing going on here. And I don't think you can be held to account like in a eternal sense for providing for your family, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, take this all the way to the extreme. You live in a country where it's illegal to eat anything other than grains and root vegetables. Would you be our forefathers
like
did in 1800s
America
in the 1800s, would you be like, if you came into possession of lamb, you know, and you cooked it and fed it to your family,
would that be
a sin? Because like the law, you see what I mean? So it's like, or you can think of, you know, lots of other laws where it's just to break them. I think providing for your family and getting a job for your family is like a just reason to basically do whatever you have to do. Because if your family dies, and then you die and then you go to heaven and God's like, why did you let your family die? And you're like, because I didn't want to break the contract.
Hmm.
That's kind of like a weird spot to be in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you could get a good lawyer and you get out of that if you really felt like you could show it to a lawyer and be like, do I have to do this? And he'd be like, no.
Or what do they do if you don't work for them anymore? And they're like, hey, you can't work for Boeing.
Are they going to follow you? Are they going to hire Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad to come to your house and bug your car to make sure you don't? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is wrong. Maybe we're bad Catholics for not caring an iota about this.
Are you drinking a matcha tea latte?
I don't know what matcha is. I refuse to learn. This is a espresso. It's a little bit of espresso, and then you put some milk in it, and then you add ice.
Someone said that I look like I drink matcha tea lattes, and I said, I do not know what that is. Thank you. Or unthank you. And then he was like, the irony, I was like, I don't think I've ever had matcha. And he was like, actually, I have. And I was like, ah, you're projecting. Hmm. You're projecting onto me.
Yeah, I don't know anything about matcha.
Anyway.
I don't know what the rule is. Contract. Yeah, sign the contract, because if you have to sign it to keep your job. I think you should sign the contract
and then immediately keep a large file of information that you can bring to another company.
Have you considered... Because if you're going to break the contract, you might as well go all the way, right?
Yeah, dude.
So
Yeah, dude.
Corporate espionage might be your path forward.
Start a Signal group chat.
Find your local Jewish journalist. Get him in the Signal chat.
Put him in there. War plans.
War plans. I don't know. To me, this is... Because if it's truly an unenforceable contract, then what's the... Like, what is that, right? In the eyes of, like, the church, if someone forces you to sign something, it kind of, in a way, this is under duress. It's like, you're going to lose your job if you don't sign this. So it's like, I guess one option would be to quit. But if you can't reasonably provide for your family otherwise, then I feel
it would be unreasonable for you to quit.
I don't know. Not, if you really are tied up about it, I would talk to your priest and get some advice. I don't know. This is a tough one. I sure am glad I don't know how to read.
Yeah.
It really complicates life, doesn't it?
Hey, you don't have to learn how to read. You don't have to know how to read if you want to be a rocket scientist. You can
It's just numbers.
You just have to know how things blow up. Yeah. You only need to know like the Greek letters and the little like squiggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're good.
You go into that tunnel with the wind. That like it goes around the wings and you're like, oh yes, this one's better than that one. You don't have to read to do that. Turn on the wind. Look at it. Turn off the wind.
On. Yeah. You're totally good.
Rocket.
All right.
Put fire under rocket. Rocket go up. Good job.
Rocket go up.
Rocket go up. Rocket explode.
Back down. We catch rocket.
Rocket explode. Bad job. You know, you get a red card. Your card gets moved from green to red for the day.
You get a clip drop. Get your clip drop. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Question number two. I think this one is about a girl, which is great. When do you
It's from
give
a guy.
Up?
Yeah. From a guy. It's from a guy about a girl. Women in general. Yeah.
Women in general. Okay. How about this for the pod? At what point do you give up on finding someone you're fully attracted to? I keep falling into the loop of women I'm attracted to not being interested in me, having to turn down women who are attracted to me that I'm not interested in. I don't have super rigid standards for what I find attractive. I try to keep it simple. Like, do I think she's cute, like a human being, not through some cringe Reddit-brained rating scale BS? Nice. Do I enjoy spending time with her? Are our personalities compatible? And overall, do I feel my heart drawn towards her? Those are my criteria. But lately, there have been a few women who are available and willing to date, but despite spending time with them and trying to have an open mind towards them, the attraction just isn't there for me. I don't force it and don't ask them out because my heart isn't in it. I've tried dating people to see if attraction develops by spending more one-on-one time with them, but it doesn't work. Moving is out of the question for me right now, and the app's been useless. Friend suggestions and attempts setting me up with their female friends have been haphazard and unsuccessful. If I want to get married, to be blunt, do I just need to settle?
Ooh.
Tough.
I think, just to answer the last question, I think settling is probably the worst thing you can do.
I was actually going to tell him to do it.
You're going to tell him to settle?
I was going to say you need to settle and you need to make sure that you let that resentment fester. All right. Just as much as much contempt as you can hold in your body for that person that you married.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like, just let it out in random bursts. Like
every time you look at her. Yeah. Every time you look at her, think about how attractive she is compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and then just keep that. You could even start maybe like a folder in your phone of like images of women you find to be more attractive, just to remember the sacrifice that you're making.
Yeah, man.
You know, in order to stay, be and stay married. I think it's good advice. We probably good. Let's move on to the next one.
Please don't do that.
I think, how old is, I know this is a guy as a patron. I didn't include his name because I didn't know if he wanted to or not. He's probably a little bit younger than us, right? A couple of years younger. I think he's 25, 26.
Yeah.
Here's what I think.
You have so much time.
This is what I think. Is like you could spend the next 5 years just like hustling.
Pooping your pants. Oh,
pooping your pants. I was going the other way. I was like, you could find something you really care about, something you're really passionate about. You could build it. You can work on it. And then you just like let life take you, you know?
You could have you considered getting absolutely massive?
I think he is massive already. I think he's a pretty jacked dude. Yeah.
Have you considered developing body dysmorphia and thinking you're still not jacked enough?
I don't know. It's weird to go back and think about myself at 24 because I was dating, but like if I wasn't and there were no prospects, you know, kind of in sight, knowing what I know now, I would tell younger me, quit your job, go all in on the podcast, you know, do like live out your, the thing that you want to do, live in a box, like live in someone's basement, you know, whatever you have to do and just try for like a year to see what you can make happen. And then if that doesn't work, all right, go find some job, you know, get some skills, you know, do some. So it's like, you have an opportunity to really try to do whatever you want. And that could be like a business thing, but that could also be you travel. You could
I'm
get
really
a remote job
do that, though, cause it
and live in Taiwan. It would have been horrible. Why?
If we had gone all in on the podcast when we were 24.
Yeah, that's true.
We would have failed and then we would have ended the podcast. Yeah. Anyway.
We didn't know. But also maybe the circumstance, we could have put ourselves in such a place where we had no option but to succeed and we would have figured it out, you know?
I mean, think of all the resources we have now that just didn't exist back then.
We didn't have Chad GPT.
Yeah. We didn't have today's sponsor. No, I'm just kidding. We're not done with the question yet. Yeah. No, just don't skip. We're done.
I don't know. It's hard to tell someone who's like in your position to say, think about literally anything else. But I genuinely believe that's the answer. It's like, you have to find something else that is as motivating and is as exciting to you as like the prospect of dating, because right now there's not going on. Right. So you can think about it and, you know, agonize over it all you want, but it's not happening. So you might as well find something else to get excited about. So you have a reason to get up every day, you know?
It's a principle of sales.
Mm.
If it's the only meeting that week, you're going to get desperate.
Yeah.
And they're going to sense that you're desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll know they have all the leverage. And you're not going to close the deal, baby. And so you need to have more prospects. But Patrick, you say, I don't have multiple women banging down my door with a broomstick. Not that I'm interested in anyway. And that's fine. The prospects should not need to be other women. They can be other men. I'm just kidding. That's not true. But you could you have other things in your life besides dating, and women will be able to tell, yes, even if this relationship doesn't work out, he'll just go work. He'll go fishing. He'll go do his job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That girls like a guy that does stuff, because that they know that he'll do stuff for them. Guys don't really care if a woman does stuff, you know? Guys care that it's like a woman's hobbies. It's like, these are fine. This is cool. I'll hear about them. But
this
it's
is
like,
nice. Yeah.
There's a reason why girls ask what you do for work. And they, you know, they care about your hobbies because they want to make sure your hobbies aren't gambling and drinking. If you were dating a girl whose hobbies are going out and getting brunch with her friends, you probably wouldn't care as much as if, you know, as she would if your hobby was going to McDonald's with your friends. Or even brunch.
You're saying there's something wrong with going to McDonald's with your friend?
If that was your only hobby, that's a problem.
All right. Okay.
I know you. You don't even go to McDonald's with your friends.
No, I don't. I don't have any friends.
You stayed in that box all day. I stayed in my box all day.
I stayed in my box. I stay in my box all day, and I think about going to McDonald's, and I don't go.
Where's the nearest McDonald's to you? Like 30 minutes away?
Dude, it's so far away. It's like 20 minutes. I just want. I want to live in a house where I can look out of a second story window and see those golden arches burning through the trees. That's all I want in my life. I want to be able to walk. I want to be able to smell the fries wafting.
Talking to a crunchy friend and she was like, oh, McDonald's is the worst. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
You understand, Brianna.
McDonald's is the best.
You don't get this.
Yeah.
McDonald's is a pillar of American ingenuity. We figured out how to make a burger in 5 minutes a million times in a row.
Yes.
Now, if we can figure out how to make a burger in 5 minutes a million times in a row, that is good for you.
Mm.
It's over. Yeah. We've solved world hunger. We did it. Okay.
Yeah, there's really nothing that beats two double cheeseburgers, no pickle, no onion, with a large fry and a large Coke. That's all I ever want. I'm thinking about it right now. I have adoration tonight.
Men in this world want one thing, and it's a large number two. Yes. That's what they want.
Yes. To answer this guy's question, I don't think there's anything wrong with like your, I think here's the problem. Your priorities are off. So you've put all your eggs in like the, well, I'm not finding anybody. It's not working out. And I feel like I'm doing all the right things. Da, 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 da. It's like, you just got to find other things to do. You got to fill up your life with other stuff. And instead of, you know, putting all of your eggs into this one basket, maybe that's what you're doing. Maybe it's not, but, and it's not just hobbies, like build something, do something. Get out of the house. You can just do things. Think of something that you want to do and then break down the steps and then do it. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be anything, you know. It can just be something that you want to do. It could be that you've always wanted to play the Dark Souls games. Fine. Go play the Dark Souls games. Get really into the lore. Read all of the Wheel of Time books. Ooh, I don't care what cool. you do. That's a great idea. But you just gotta start doing stuff.
I did realize this when I was single and living by myself, and I was just like bored on a Saturday, and I would waste my whole Saturday, wake up at 10, mm-hmm. just kind of pitter around, forget to eat anything until 1, you know, make a big meal, and then just like watch TV for the rest of the night, and then go to bed, you know, and then mm-hmm. like, oh, I gotta go to church tomorrow. That would suck, right? And then I realized one day, I was like, hold on, there's a big state park, like a 5 minute drive from my house. I'm just going to hike the entire state park over the next nice. Month. And I like, checked all the trails and I mapped out and I texted my friend, I'm going to hike in the park. So if you don't hear from me in a day, I have been eaten by a raccoon. I saw 127 hours. I wasn't going to let that happen to me. I wasn't going to come out from the park going like, welcome to the crunch. It's your boy, Patrick. You know, I wasn't going to do that. For the audio listeners, I pulled my arm into my shirt in a clever visual gag. Anyway, so you just do stuff like that, you know, just get a backpack, fill it with water, stick the hose in your mouth and just put an audiobook in.
My buddy Sam, when I was a missionary, he just started going and he played the piano at the German-American Association.
Is he German?
He lived in Germany for a time. I think because his dad was like there or something. I don't know. But he just went, and whenever they had events, he would just go and play piano for the events at the German American Society. And it's like,
fun.
That's like such a crazy thing that I would never think to do.
I bet they loved that.
They did. Right. And he like met people through it. I'm not saying it changed his life, but it like you could become a part of a community, right? That's around you. You don't have to live in your mind cube, you know, that you're stuck in all the time. You got to get out of the mind cube.
And then you'll meet a nice German American girl.
Yes. Have you considered
come up to you with like 4 beer steins?
Just move to Europe. Why not? Renounce your American citizenship. Pay the tariffs.
Move to Europe. All right.
Anyway, let us know if that's. And now a word from our sponsor, Patrick. I've been unhired from my job a few times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. As far as being unemployed goes, you could say I'm an expert.
I was going to go over the opposite direction, where I've been on the other side of the interviewing table multiple times in my life, in my youth ministry jobs, and I've hated it every time. Yes. Even though my boss is like, oh, you're a really good interview, Patrick. I was like, I hate this. This is awful.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people that just like weren't – like it was obvious it wasn't the right fit right up front, yes. but I was still stuck there for 30 minutes trying to, you know, pretend like I was going to hire this person, even though they were obviously a bad culture fit. I had wished there was some way for us to know before you got hired or before I was in the interview that this person wasn't the right fit for the company.
And that's why Verso Jobs exists. Verso Jobs is a
solution to a problem. Oh my gosh.
A solution to the problem, not just for people who have to interview folks like you, but also for people who are looking for jobs frequently like me.
Those people Verso need Jobs, to be on the same place.
Yes, they need to be on the same place. It needs to not be just a faceless, nameless website where you put in hundreds of applications, hearing nothing back, that doesn't respect you as a person, doesn't respect your human dignity, that doesn't take into account the other things about you besides just the text on your resume that's analyzed by an AI and ditched as soon as it, you know, doesn't reach past the filters. Verso Jobs does it.
There's no doom scroll like a job board doom scroll, man. Like TikTok has miserable. Nothing on the unnamed job boards that we'll leave to the side.
Yeah.
It's the worst. We've all been there.
Verso Jobs does it completely differently. They have a gamified approach. So you go in and you're taking quizzes and you're playing games that are assessing your abilities and then matching you up with an employer that has gone through a similar process so that both sides know before you even have the first conversation whether or not they're even in the same playing field.
Yeah.
You know? And then it sets you up for such a higher likelihood of success for hiring, which can be a huge waste of time, and getting hired, which is also can be a huge waste of time. I think it's great.
That's awesome, right? Like, because right now for my job, I bring people on, like I'll talk to them, and you know, in terms of resume, they look great. And then when they're talking to me, they're like, "Oh yeah, I love everything about this company," but they're just saying that, you know. And then we take the time to put them through training, and they take the time to go through training, and they try, and they just nosedive because it wasn't a good fit off the bat. It sucks for us because you know we got our hopes up. It sucks for them because they got their hopes up. I'm really happy that something like this has come along. And I would think anyone that is looking for a job in our audience, you should go to Verso Jobs. Does it cost anything for them to do that?
No, you just sign up. You go to versojobs.com. You just sign up. And if you're a company that's looking to hire people, you should also go to versojobs.com. Get onboarded. New members are flooding in by the day. Your current hiring practices are outdated. It's not working. You need to do something new that reflects the modern age that we live in. You can't just have people pushing paper, right? You need to do something new. That's why you have to go to versojobs.com to hire and get hired. That's versojobs.com. Patrick, where do they need to go?
Versojobs.com. I'm going to go text my boss right now, versojobs.com.
Thank you to Verso Jobs for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Thank you, sponsor. Next question. Dating question from Nicolette. Does anyone have a suggestion or advice for a woman letting a guy know she's interested? Dropping the handkerchief type stuff.
Ooh.
Context from other messages. Late 20s female at a young adult event met a guy. We talked and he said something to the effect of, "I'd love to get to know you better," as he was leaving. I said yes, but either he's really bad at texting or he gave up dating for Lent. Nothing came after that. I don't know. I tried reaching out before we had that conversation just to say hello and things, but not for a full conversation. Maybe he was just being nice. I don't want to get my hopes up. Am I overthinking it? If I think he'll be thinking it's too direct or forward that a girl is making the first move. Also, would it be helpful if I asked one of his friends for help to talk to him? Never. That is never a good idea. So I'm not having the conversation with him and seven of his friends huddled around, or should I look for another time to ask instead of it in a group setting? I was excited. Now that's gone, has turned into panic and overthinking. I've never been direct before. Help. Help.
Hmm.
Never enlist a friend.
Yeah, that's true. It's too. Well, I think in this situation where it's like, hey, can you get this guy alone, you know, so that I can walk up to him. I've used that before, but on a woman.
Oh, that's different. I thought she was like going to try and use the friend as like a messenger.
No. That's not what she was saying. The guy hit the classic, I'd love to get to know you better, directly comboed into the ghost, which is a crazy move.
That is crazy.
I've done this a few times myself, actually, where I like see a girl and I'm like, I'd love to get to know you. I texted, sometimes I think about what I was like in college and I would text a girl. I'm thinking of like three distinct women just off the top of my head that I texted, hey, we should go out on a date sometime. And then they said, that sounds great. And then I did nothing about it. I never followed up because I assumed that it was like I was like a joke to them. Right. Like, cause these were like, at the time, these were just like beautiful sorority women. And I was just, I looked way worse than I do now. I was skinny, acne, kind of like
you were using a washcloth.
I was using a washcloth. I was kind of like a loser. I wasn't a loser, but I certainly was not like the top of the social ladder. Like I was not the coolest guy around, you know,
but they wanted to go on dates.
But they all said like, that's so sweet. Yes, I would love to do it. Or like, you know, go to the date party or the formal or whatever. And then I would just assume like they probably didn't mean that because these are like 9 out of 10
once again, beautiful once women. Again, a woman could be kissing a dude on the mouth and he will say, I don't know. She might just be really nice. Mm-hmm. She might just be really friendly.
But there's like multiple instances where I did this exact thing and then I just never scheduled it, never followed up.
Oh, so he's deeply insecure. So what you need to do is wait 5 years for him to like have a podcast.
Yeah.
Go do focus work. And then he'll be ready to be married.
Yeah.
And go on a date with you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's the advice that we give to every woman who wants to know if a guy likes her?
You ask the question.
You gotta ask the question. This is a famous piece of Ethan advice that I stole and turned into a Catholic Match article one time that still gets reposted.
I'll never get any residuals from that. What the hell?
Don't worry, that's neither crazy. Do I. They pay a flat rate.
I didn't get any. Let's talk about the flat rate for a minute. I didn't see a penny of that either. So
it was $85. I can Venmo you.
We're going to McDonald's together and you're buying.
We'll go to the casinos where we're going.
We put it all on red. And then we have $170.
I won that cruise for my company. And I sold so much. I also got the next tier up, which is like a voucher it's a cash to go use on the vacation. And I was like, I'm going to go to the casino on the ship and I'm going to double it.
I can't believe you're taking your son on the cruise.
He can't
go to the casino. Why didn't you take me? We could podcast on the cruise.
You want to go on the cruise?
Well, not if your son is going, but if there's an open spot.
I thought about inviting you, and then I thought that would be tough.
This is worse than what I did with the women. You're like, oh, it'd be wonderful. This would be so nice if you came on this cruise with me. Guess I'll never tell you about it ever. I got a free ticket to the cruise. That's fine. I actually don't want to go. Whatever.
Are you free in 2 weeks? Can you leave your family for four days to go on a cruise? Busy.
I can't go. Too expensive.
I'm sick that day. Yeah, we haven't told them the question.
That's fine. You can tell the question if you want to talk about the question. It's fine.
I also want to go with Leo. I think it'll be fun.
Oh yeah, go with your son. Yeah.
We can go on it. We can do a company cruise next year.
That's a great idea, dude. And if we podcast on the cruise, you can write it off.
It's a business expense. Yeah.
Let's go.
And of course, the unlimited drink package is important because we need to have, you know, craft services for the podcast.
We could do it. We could do it on the Disney cruise. We could bring our microphones so we hold up so it goes.
We absolutely cannot do it on the Disney cruise because a Disney cruise is like 3 times more expensive than a normal cruise.
But I want to see Mickey.
The Disney cruises are so expensive.
That's true. I would never go on a cruise. If you get me on I would rather go to an all-inclusive resort. On the ground, still with a casino. The casinos on the boat, the blackjack odds are all messed up. It's like 7 to 8. It's like something crazy. Oh yeah, it's they rake it in on those I think the payouts are all weird. Like the slot machines are different. The blackjack is different. It's all a scam. You got to, it's just roulette is the only game you can play. But even then they probably have like triple zero roulette. So your odds are just worse and worse and worse. Not important. Anyway, tell them the question.
The question is, are you going to ask me out anytime soon or should I move on? The beauty of this question, if you break it down, is it puts the onus on the guy. Are you going to do this thing? And then it goes anytime soon. So it's like, it's not right now. Or should I move on? Clearly telegraphs your interest because move on implies I'm here. And all, but it still puts the pressure back on. He's like, I do want to move on. Like I'm here, but like if nothing's gonna happen, we only have so many years on this blue and green marble we call the earth. So let's get to stepping. So that's the question. Write it down, burn it into your brain, drill it into your children. That's the question. Are you gonna ask me out anytime soon, or should I move on?
Yeah. You don't have to ask. You can ask it that way. You can also just say, you know, another variation of this for your particular situation, going up to him in person, even if he's around his friends, just saying, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Easy, right? The friends will get it. They'll, if they're not stupid. And
you it's can not talk to him. They're not all going to go, ooh.
Yeah. Like, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
I would.
You say, hey, it's you funny. Said to me, I'd love to get to know you better. And then you never got to know me better. Did I do something wrong? Cause I too would love to get to know you better. Like yeah. You can just kind of be honest with them. Just be like, you said you're going to do this. I was excited about it and nothing has happened. What's going on?
Alternative three, in front of all of his friends, you go up and you kiss him on the mouth.
On the mouth. Yes.
On the
mouth.
That's
usually a good answer.
That is one thing that we never say, which is girls write in. Number one question we get from women, how do I know if he likes me? And the answer is you kiss him on the mouth. That is a surefire way. If he kisses you back, he likes you. If he immediately starts vomiting, he does not.
Anything in between, it's a toss up. There's no way to know.
It's a toss up.
Sure.
Who knows? No way to know for sure. Question number four, job advice from a patron. This one's tough. I am currently considering leaving my company. Even though I believe in the mission, I don't think my role there is good for my professional growth, and it doesn't feel like I'm doing real work. I am also realizing the skills I have would be best put to use by pursuing a degree in law. It is either that or start learning something new like computer science. Also, this would be my second major pivot in 2 years. Any advice? I have some
thoughts.
Do you
think this guy works at the same company as Ben?
Yes, I think he does.
He also works at the Department of Defense Rocket Company.
Rocket Incorporated, a subsidiary to the Department of Defense. So he signed the non-compete, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Big red flag for me in this is he's like, maybe I'll do law or computer science. Just two completely different things. Like, just like, this company isn't serving my skills. Maybe I'll do this or something that's the opposite of that.
I can't say I blame him, though, because I've had this same thought process, you know?
That's true. I've watched it happen, I have too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just a normal part of being in your 20s and not, like, having something that you're really into is, what do I do? You know, where do I go? Especially if you're a relatively smart person who's just somewhat driven. It's like, you kind of have the sense, and I can tell from your question, that you could learn just about anything. Like, you could pick something up, you could try at it. And you could do well at it. This is true for most people at most things. But you can't just, it's like, this patron with a law degree would like be giving a monkey a machine gun. You know, I don't think you should do that. Well, that's just a quote from Better Call Saul. But I don't think you should go to law school. I actually think both of your ideas are bad.
I agree.
Can I just say that? You want to get into computer science now? You want to get into computer science.
Yeah.
It'd be different if you said, like, if you had an idea for an application and you're like, oh, I want to build an application, build some software, and then sell it, you know, and I can like work on that while I'm at my current job and then maybe, you know, transition over. That's interesting, right? Law, you want to go to law school? you have $100,000 sitting around and then you want to work 70 hours a week? Like, what do you want to, law is for people who really like law. It sounds like you kind of like law, which makes me nervous for you becoming a lawyer. Do you have any other skills?
Yeah. Have you, I think it's cart before horse here. Someone in the patron chat jokingly recommended that he read So Good They Can't Ignore You. I think you should read that book. They also jokingly,
who wrote that book, Patrick?
Calvin Newport. So Good They Can't Ignore You by Cal Newport.
He was so good with the Bengals.
They jokingly said you should read 4-Hour Work Week. I do not think you should read 4-Hour Work Week. It's not really relevant. So Good They Can't Ignore You is relevant to your position because the whole point of the book is it dismantles what they call the happiness hypothesis, where there is some kind of career out there, some kind of lifestyle that is perfectly suited to my skills. And if I just find it, I will be happy and I'll get there and then I'll find my joy. I have to go find it. And he dismantles that and he goes, there's a big problem with that. And it came from the 70s. He does a nice like historical analysis of where it came from.
You can skip
but
all that.
The alternate. Yeah. You can skip that part of the book, but the alternate of that is the lifestyle design. I think that's how he says it. I don't remember, but the gist of it is like, you will find happiness by excelling at something. When you are really good at something, it makes you happy. Like if you had asked me 5 years ago, Patrick, do you want to go be a salesman? I would have said absolutely not. But now that I'm doing it and I'm good at it and I like see a lot of the fruit, and you know, it's like I enjoy excelling at this thing, and just being good at a thing feels good. Even though it's like before I would never have considered doing it. It's kind of like having kids.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having kids. People before they have kids, like, oh, I maybe want two, you know, like maybe I want one. But like once you and when you have a kid, all of a sudden when you're pregnant, you're like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I want this right now, you know, but then you meet the kid and you're like, I could never imagine life without you.
Yeah.
It's just when it's your kid, it's just different. And so it's the same thing with your job and your skill. So I think for you, it's like find if your job is not helping you grow in a skill, that's a problem. Your job should, the trade-off in a job, especially at our age, is like your employer is not paying you a ton, and that's because you don't have a lot of skills, but what they're also giving you is experience. And so you need to like maximize that experience. And if you're like working at Bob Evans and it's low pay and no experience, that's a problem. If you're working at a company that's low pay and no experience, you might as well be working at a restaurant. So maybe that's a red flag, but I don't think the getting more education is the solution, you know?
Yeah, it rarely is. There's a few different, there's maybe like a hierarchy. You could stop and say, okay, I'm in my own company. Your role there is not good for your professional growth. Is there a different role at the company that you could do? Maybe you couldn't transition fully, but is there some way that you can learn some new skills while you're still getting paid at the current job, and then try out some new things? Maybe your current role is some type of IT and you want to learn more about marketing. So go to your boss or whoever and say, hey, you know, I'm really interested in learning more about this. Can I do XYZ? Come with a plan, do some research, think about what would make the company more money, right? And then say, I want to contribute to this effort. It's a little bit harder in a bigger company. I don't know how big your company is. But in a small company, usually it's pretty clear where you can provide value. You know, do we need more clients? Do we need more sales? What things can I do that are in my control to do that? So I think start there. Don't give up, you know, just because you're not like you can ask, like you can, or you can just start doing it. What is he going to, I mean, are they going to be mad that you're adding more value to the company? No. I think the next step is think about what with your current set of skills, what is a job that you could have that would make more money or be more that would help you grow more quickly. So instead of trying to get like a completely new set of skills, what do you already have? What are you already working with? And then think about where you could go from there. Yeah. If then at that point you're like, genuinely, I don't have anything. Like I'm complete, like what the Bob Evans example, like Patrick said, then at that point you can maybe think about learning new skills, but you can learn. There's no excuse in the modern day, and I'm not like an AI freak, but like you can learn anything very quickly if you know how to learn. And so please don't pay for anything. just like, start learning, read some books, watch some YouTube videos, talk to the machine, and just start figuring this stuff out. You just got to start taking steps.
The deep research function on ChatGPT is crazy. You can just say, hey, build me a syllabus on how to learn this skill, this marketing skill. Find the best people to talk about it, and it'll just give you a summary. And then it'll give you references, and you can just go learn. It's a great way to organize the information before, so you're not wasting time spinning your wheels looking for things. Because that's really all the college is, an organization of information. College presents you information in the order it thinks you need to present it so that you can learn it the best. Not all of them are great at that, et cetera. The one big principle or idea from So Good They Can't Ignore You is the idea of career capital.
Mm.
And the idea of career capital is you have very little of it when you start out, but it's basically that people always talk about. It's like, oh, it's all about who you know. It's not about what you have learned. It's about what you've done, right? It's not about what you can do. It's what you have done. So like if you built a big company and you go to someone and like, hey, we're hiring a marketing person. Oh, I built a big marketing company. Cool. Come work for us. You know, about who you know. And that there's like a bunch of different parts of career capital. When you work at a company, you're investing, you've placed your career capital in that company. You're investing it and growing it. You have all these relationships. All these people care about you. The better you do, the more willing they're going to be to talk about you to other people. And the longer you're in there, the more they're going to be willing to do that. If someone is in for like 6 months and they leave, even if they were the best employee ever, I, as a boss, am not going to be like, I totally recommend this guy. I'm like, he kind of just squelched. Like, it sucked that he left.
Squelched.
So, bye. He kind
of
just.
He's a bit of a squelcher.
He kind of squelches sometimes.
He didn't. We're a strictly non-squelch company culture.
We're more of a family. And... So. But your best opportunity to build skills are the senior management at your company, and the best way for you to get a new job are the people that you've worked with right now. So like, make sure that you utilize that and maybe stay there longer than you think. Again, unless you're like, this is a dead end. Like I worked at Parrish's, and there's really no, when I was reading these books and learning about this, there's really no like,
there's nowhere to go from youth minister.
There's nowhere to go from youth minister, director of evangelization.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to get a master's degree to go up the ladder. And even then the only way you're going to
break. You're maxed out at like 55K a year. Like there's not really much.
Unless you work at a diocese and you're in like fundraising, you know, then you can start even then.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're kind of maxed out. And so, but now I'm in a different company. It's like, all right, I'm going to make sure that I invest in the people. I cannot stress it enough. Invest in the people, like do favors for your boss, not like for the company writ large. Like make sure you work closely with your boss, your senior management, like those things. Invest in those people, because those relationships are going to set you up for your career down the line. And you never know who's going to pop back up and be like, hey, we used to work together at XYZ Incorporated. It's great to see you again. Like, we're putting together this group. We need to hire this guy. I already know you work great, so let's bring you in. So like the suit, when you quit a job 2 years in, you're like, basically it's like an investment, you're cashing out. And in the stock market, you only lose when you sell, right? Like the longer you stay in, the more your career capital compounds, and the more people will trust you, especially if you're in a sales role. Like a huge red flag for salespeople is like, oh, he was at this company for a year and this company for a year and this company for a year. Great. He's the best salesman
I've
ever.
I've been at my last three companies for a year. So just because Patrick says it doesn't mean you have to do it that way. I've changed jobs a lot in the last 6 years.
I said that specifically for sales roles.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with the
a year is a good amount.
The career capital thing I think is fine. I think the more important thing to build is skills. Like, I don't really care about someone's career. Like, can you do the thing that I need you to do? Can you do it excellently? Can you do it on time? Can you do it with good human, emotional IQ? Like, if you have that, to me, it's like, I don't really care about career as much. I just care about,
I guess, skills. The point is, like, the skills, who you know is an important part.
Certainly.
People say, like, oh, it's all about your skills, all about who you know. The people you know will vouch for your skills.
Right. I agree. You know? I agree. Yeah. But I would encourage people to not just stay at a company just because they don't want to cash out their career capital too early.
Yeah.
If you're not in a good spot, you're not growing, you can change, right? I think that's fine. But just make the right change. Don't just make a change just for its own sake.
If I want to keep with the stock market value, it's like if your company is giving you a career capital return that is under the S&P 500, you should bounce. You know, it's like,
yeah,
there's no upward mobility. I'm not learning anything. I'm underpaid. Get out.
Speaking of getting out.
It's time for a big announcement. Are we titling the episode We're Ending the Crunch?
Yeah, we have to.
We have to address it right at the beginning, because then people are going to be like, why is this just a normal episode of the podcast if you're ending the show?
We'll let editor Ryan decide what he wants to do.
All right. So we decided that we are ending the Crunch as the name of our podcast. So
we're ending the brand of the Crunch.
It's dead. Yes. Ethan, tell the people why it was called the Crunch in the first place.
This is a good history lesson for those of you that don't know. We started the podcast. We did maybe 3 or 4 episodes back in 2016 before we had a name for the show.
Before our voices dropped,
Patrick sounds like a Fortnite kid. Because we have the terrible microphones.
Victory Royale.
This was exactly that. And we didn't know what we were doing. I didn't know what I was doing. It was a mess. But we needed a name for the show. And my father, who had apparently nothing going on, was listening to our podcast every week when it came out. And we kept talking about, we need a name for the show, need a name for the show. And then my dad knew that I like to eat cereal, and he was eating a bowl of cereal, and I was eating a lot of cereal at the time. I was in my corn syrup maxing age. You know, I was not eating well at this point in my life. And so I was eating cereal all the time.
That, yeah.
A lot of Pop-Tarts at the time. If you'll notice, there's cereal on our cover art. There was cereal on the old cover art. It was a big thing. My dad sent me an email. He's got my phone number. Sent me an email. And he said, you should call it, the Catholic Crunch or something like that. And then Patrick and I talked about it. We decided on the Crunch. And it just stuck because it was kind of funny, a little bit off the wall. And we've kept it ever since.
The Crunch Guys was like a fun thing we were called. And
yeah,
so
we were the Crunch
good,
Guys. You know? Yeah, it was cool. Everybody knew us as the Crunch Guys. People still probably will know us as the Crunch Guys, which is fine. But I think we're gonna change the name of the show. We're going to change the brand. Do you want to tell them? You can take the why we're changing.
Yeah, so what we want the show's name. The show's name is the first thing that people hear. And so when we say the Crunch, we're like, what is that? And people might remember it, but it doesn't really communicate what the show is. And so we thought, like, what really captures our show and our audience? Like, now that we have an audience, it's easier to name the show. Our audience, and I think we are as well, people who take our faith seriously, but not ourselves. We want a name that communicates Catholicism, but in a way that is fun and wacky. And so Ethan's Twitter handle from years ago that he deleted, and I'm like, it's crazy he deleted it. But yeah, we were like racking our brains, what are we going to rename the show? And I was like,
it was June of 2020, George Floyd, I didn't know what was going on.
I was talking about patent law. And I was like, Ethan, it's been staring us right in the face. It's so funny because we were like, ChatGPT, what are some one-word combinations of things that sound Catholic?
It was right
and
there
I was
the
like,
whole time.
The show is called Bropostles. This is this encapsulates who we are. So as of next week, we are rebranding our entire show, our entire online presence as Bropostles. And this is the name of our show. It is who we are now. We are Bropostles. And you, dear listener, are a Bropostle as well. Yes, even if you are a lady, it's 2025. Mm-hmm. You can be a Bropostle.
Everyone's
no matter what the executive orders say, you can be a Bropostle.
We're defying Trump in this one weird way.
So that's the new name of our show. It'll be reflected across all of our social medias. I'm probably going to do it soon because I've been sitting on those handles, baby. It's
been... Oh, really?
Yeah. So bropostles.com, that's what it's going to be. We're rebranding everything.
Yeah, I've been building the website. I've been getting up at 4 a.m. every day to get a website ready for next week's launch.
Yeah.
And it also has to do a little bit just with the things that we've learned. I've been in marketing now for a couple of years. Patrick's been in sales for a couple of years. We want to continue to grow the show. And at a certain point, it needs to be much cleaner, much tighter. So the other thing, too, is the format that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is going to be, for the most part, the new standard format. This is going to be a comedy advice show for Catholics. We will still talk about current events and things that come up, especially if you, the listener, write in questions and ask.
About
info at thecrunchcast.com, Patrick at thecrunchcast.com, Ethan at thecrunchcast.com. We need to change those, and they will be updated.
Good point.
The Discord is also a great way to get in touch with us.
We should also do a form on the website for asking
questions. We'll do a form. It'll be very easy and very clear next week where to go to submit questions. But for 1 week only, you can email us, Ethan at thecrunchcast.com. Or Patrick at thecrunchcast.com. But we're going to do this. We're at dating advice, talking about evangelization, talking about business. These are the things we care about. These are the things that we talk about on our own. So it feels weird to try and force like a super Catholic current events, spiritual book thing when that's like not what our day-to-day life is like. You know,
let's talk about how McCarrick died.
Yeah. It's like, he's dead. You know,
they had a little party in Munchkinland.
I had a joke that I couldn't quite put together. But you know how everybody says Val Kilmer in Tom Cruise in Top Gun are supposed to be gay. Yeah. And then Val Kilmer died and then Cardinal McCarrick died in the same week. And I was trying to like stitch that together into like something. I just couldn't get there. I was like, there's a concept of a joke here. I couldn't quite do it.
I can't figure it out. It
really upset me. So we're gonna do this. What we've done the last couple of weeks, people said they really liked it. So we're gonna stick with the format. We're gonna keep it. We've tested it out. We think it's good. It's very repeatable. It will ensure that we will be able to keep doing this for a long time, and the quality will go up. And there's lots of other things that are being planned, which you might hear about in the bonus show this week. So
Bropostles is now the umbrella term for everything that we do, our social media presence, our little courses, you, our listeners, our patrons, our premium Bropostles, Bropostles in chief, even some might say, this is where we're going. It's been a great 8, almost 9 years of the crunch, but it is time for us to change. It's time for it's run its course. The joke is over. It's time for us to do something new. And in another way, something very old, taking Ethan's Twitter handle as my own. thank you so much for being with us during this time. Unhinged comment.
We're very grateful. I was going to say one more thing. If you want to continue to support us and you're not already supporting us on Patreon, you can still go to patreon.com/thecrunch. We won't update the link until later. So head over there, and $5 a month. $10 a month. I mean, whatever you can afford to help us keep going. We'd really love to get to 200 patrons. We've been stuck at like 120 for a long time. Yeah. So my first goal in the Bropostle era is to get us up to 200 patrons, so that we can keep investing more time, keep investing more money. My camera broke. I haven't paid to replace it because we haven't had any money to replace it.
We have a sponsor this week, so
there's a little bit of cash. Thank you to Verso Jobs, but please support if you want us to keep doing. Your dollars speak louder than anything else because it means that you care enough to sacrifice for us. So thank you, Patrick. Do you want to share the unhinged comment of the week?
Yes, we're talking about me. This MF looked like he have Down syndrome. Does that mean I can say it? Does that mean I can say it?
No, on the bonus show, maybe. What was that in response to?
I said something about...
You just post a picture of yourself?
No, so it was on Twitter. So Trent Horn posted something about the Jews. And I was like, breaking news, Catholic apologist holds the same view as St. Thomas Aquinas. And obviously, the people who care more about hating the Jews than anything else got very upset. I did have one good joke though. That was, someone was like, Trent Horn has said nothing but bad. They immediately started talking about Nick Fuentes, which I thought was funny, 'cause he wasn't mentioned anywhere in the thread or in my post, but people are like, people are like, anti-Semites, how dare you say that about Nick Fuentes? I'm like, it's a little on the nose there, so to speak. But they were like, Nick Fuentes has taken nothing but the high road. And I responded, not taking the high road myself. I was like, I don't think Nick Fuentes is tall enough to reach the high road.
Nice.
Thanks. And then I got brigaded. They didn't like that.
Yeah. No, they don't like that at all.
They don't like when you call him short, which is funny because he shouldn't care.
No, he shouldn't care. He sits behind a desk, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Doesn't matter, you know? I don't even know if he's actually short.
I'd love to have him on the pod. I think we could have a great conversation with him. I have some questions about his methods.
I don't think I can handle this. I don't think I can handle this for an hour. That's my Nick Fuentes gesticulation.
That's pretty good. I would do a Nick Fuentes, but I've never seen a single clip of him, so I'm just going to not do it.
Okay.
That's it for the show. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Thank you for 8.5 years of The Crunch. It's time for the new era.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money. Like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.